Well, today we're going to talk about prayer. Now, you would think that I've preached enough messages on prayer to save me the rest of my life, but it's amazing how the Word of God just continues to speak to us, continues to open up our minds to new ways to look at God and new ways to look at His Word. I think everyone knows the song, "Somebody Prayed for Me," right? Amen. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Who among us doesn't feel encouraged when someone says to them, "I've been praying for you"? Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is this: if we spent more time praying for people instead of talking about people, we would get far better results. Amen. 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 Just think about that for a minute and gauge that. How much time do we spend complaining about folk, aggravated with people? Amen? Amen. Talking about them. Just think if we took that time and we began to pray for them. What in the world would God do for them? But what would God do for us? Amen? Amen. 20th century evangelist and teacher Oswald Chambers said, "Quit praying about yourself and spend your life for the sake of others as the bond servant of Jesus." That is the true meaning of being broken bread and poured out wine in life. Now, broken bread and poured out wine referred to the sacrificial life that Jesus lived and ultimately gave so that you and I could be redeemed and reconciled to God. And as those who've been redeemed by Christ's blood, we are to pattern our life after Him. And praying for others is an essential part of living as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I say living because there's a difference between living and being. Amen. We can say we're a lot of things, but how we live truly speaks to who we are and whose we are. Now, we know that all prayers are not equal. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers." For who? It says, for all believers everywhere. There's nothing wrong with praying for ourselves. And most certainly we are supposed to pray for ourselves. But numerous times throughout the scripture, we're instructed to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Apostle Paul instructs, pray in the Spirit at all times. Because it is through the Spirit that we can pray effective, powerful, and timely prayers that can impact the lives of those that we are praying for. And how many of us want to see the people we love be impacted by our prayers? The people at our workplaces, the people who we come in contact every day. Don't we want to see God do a work in their lives?
Yes.
Amen. Before Paul tells the Ephesians to pray in the Spirit at all times in chapter 6, he prays for them and gives them the details in his letter of how he prays for them. And I think Ephesians chapter 1 verses 15 through 23 is a model for life-changing prayer that each of us can use when praying for others. It most certainly is a prayer that I would welcome someone praying for me. Paul's prayer begins with thanksgiving, moves to intercessory prayer, and ends up with a confession of praise for God's power. He thanks God for the strong faith and love for God's people everywhere. He links the Ephesians' faith in Christ with love for God's people. This corresponds to what Jesus said the greatest commandments were: to love God wholeheartedly and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Love is a natural outpouring of the life of Christ in us. And part of loving people is praying for them. Don't tell somebody you love them and you don't pray for them. Amen? Afterwards, Paul gives thanks, he begins then to make his requests. And essentially, he is praying for the believers in Ephesus to have spiritual wisdom. And the way that he addresses God shows that he, in fact, is a recipient of the spiritual wisdom he's asking them to be given. He calls God the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he knows that he is praying to the one who is truly capable of hearing and answering his prayer, the one to whom all glory belongs. And Paul doesn't take the tone of arrogance that we hear in some of the prayers given in Christianity today. Some people pray as though they are equal with God and that just because they say it, it will be done. But the only prayers that we are assured that God will respond to are the ones we pray according to his will and his word as we understand it correctly. Amen? Amen. That's why Paul's three-part request is so very important. First, he asks for them to have spiritual wisdom and insight so that they might grow in their knowledge of God. He's praying that they know God in a personal way, that they will know God experientially and not just have head knowledge about God. See, head knowledge about God won't change your life. Head knowledge about God won't mediate your behavior or your speech or your attitude or how you spend your money. Amen?
Amen.
You have to know God personally. You have to know Jesus for yourself. You have to experience his presence in your life and be responsive to the way his spirit nudges you, speaks to you, and guides you from day to day. And when you do, then you will know how to pray. Amen?
Amen.
You will know that your requests are being heard because you're praying according to the will of God. Second, Paul asked for their hearts to be flooded with light so that they can understand the confident hope they've been given as people of God. And you notice he says, as people of God. Amen? Do we know who we are? Are we aware of who we belong to? Every day. Amen? Because if you're in the dark because you don't know Christ, the light of God will not be available to you. Amen? And we wonder why some people live like they do. Because they're in darkness. Light dispels darkness. And darkness here is equated with a lack of understanding. Do we not live in a world where people have a lack of understanding? But when we understand who God is and what Christ has done for us, we can be confident that what Jesus said will come to pass. Maybe not when we want it, Amen? Maybe not the way we want it, but what Jesus said, he backs up. Amen? Because we belong to Christ. Because we have an understanding of who God is. He says, then we can have confident hope. Doesn't this world need hope? What's the scripture say? It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hopeless people are sick in their spirit, in their mind, in their heart. And unfortunately, they pass that sickness along. Amen? But we're supposed to be light, and light dispels darkness, right? That goes to the last request Paul makes for them. He's asked that they will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for all who believe him. This is the power of God actively at work in our lives because we belong to Christ. Because we belong to Christ, we know that God is on our side and is ever ready to help us, and that God's power is never stagnant. And that's the truth. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. There is never a time where God is not ready to help you. And if you doubt that when you pray, tell the devil he's a liar. Amen? You belong to him. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. And it is only through the power of God that sinful humans can be transformed into strong believers who live a life that glorifies God. It is because of the power of God that we can live free from the fear of death, free from the fear of failure, and free to attempt great things for God. That's good news. Just think, if we lived constantly aware of the incredible greatness of God's power working on our behalf, what an awesome impact it would make on how we live every day. You know, we go through life, and I think we go through life, and sometimes I do too, and we forget that God's presence is with us. We just kind of get in, you know? That auto mode, autopilot, we go from thing to thing, circumstance to circumstances, and often we don't even call out to God or recognize God's presence until something is biting our butt, and then all of a sudden we're crying out, Lord, help me. Amen. But he's with us all the time. Always an ever-present help, always there to guide us, always there to deliver us. But we've got to recognize it. Constantly be aware of the incredible power of God working on our behalf. What a powerful, life-changing prayer. A prayer for spiritual wisdom and understanding. Something that we all need. Amen. Just think what would happen if we received the spiritual wisdom and understanding the Apostle Paul is asking God to grant Christ's believers in the Ephesian church. You see, I am more than convinced, that the reason many people live as weak Christians today is because they lack spiritual wisdom. Amen. A bunch of stupid Christians. It's the truth. Fall for anything. People can tell you anything. Any new fad, spiritual fad, you'll do and say it's God and don't read the word. No, it don't have nothing to do with God. sell your house and give it to the preacher, and the preacher live and hide, you can't pay your bills. Amen. Amen. Preacher said, God said, don't take your medicine. He gonna heal you, so you stop taking your medicine and you get sick and die.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Like God don't use doctors. Now, granted, God may tell you something's not good for you, but you know what? If you can't discern the voice of God for yourself, and somebody has to always tell you everything, you're in trouble. Amen. You got to have that personal, experiential relationship, so that when somebody says something to you, you know in your spirit something's not right. And what does it do? It causes you to pray. Amen. Get a second opinion. Amen.
Amen.
But if you just following along, letting somebody tell you anything, you'll fall for anything. And most times you'll fall in the pit, and they won't be there to pick you up out of that pit.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, they'll blame you for being in the pit.
Amen.
Human wisdom can only get us so far in this life. Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 that we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Human wisdom is not sufficient to successfully engage in spiritual warfare. We need spiritual wisdom. Amen? And spiritual understanding. And I'm not talking about the wisdom of so-called spiritual people. Amen? We live in a time where everybody's spiritual. Oh, I'm spiritual. I don't need to go to church. I'm spiritual. And so they talk to nature, and the cosmos speaks to them, and some long dead person. And I'm telling you, right? All kind of crazy mess. That won't cut it. They actually don't recognize that they're falling into the hands of the enemy. See, the devil doesn't mind you to be deceived. He'll let you go about your business and be deceived. Amen?
Amen.
It's when you seek the Lord's wisdom that he really comes against you, because he does not want you to be free. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul is asking for God to grant the Ephesian believers the wisdom and revelation that comes only by the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? I only heard one yes.
Yeah.
I'll ask that again. Do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Romans 8:15 and 16 says, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba. Amen. Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. When your child speaks to you, don't you know their voice? Amen, right? So when you speak to God, he knows your voice. You could call upon him. As a matter of fact, he likes to be in conversation with you all day. He wants you to know him personally and experientially, so that you just won't fall for anything. But not only that, so that you will be able to live in a way that is glorious. God doesn't mean, I truly believe this with all my heart, God doesn't mean for us to live mediocre lives. Jesus was not mediocre. Amen?
Amen.
He did have a mediocre job. He was a carpenter, and that was on the low part of the totem pole. But everywhere he went, he stirred things up. Amen?
Amen.
Everywhere he went, he shed light. Because of his presence, situations were healed. People's lives were changed. The same Jesus lives in you and I. And if we would live the way he's calling us to live, if we would receive that spiritual wisdom and understanding, what a difference our world would make. Amen?
Amen.
Just because you're in it. That's God's desire for us. So today, from now on, let's begin to pray for one another. The prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And watch God begin to do amazing, amen, amazing things in our lives. Amazing things. When you work for kids, some of you work with kids and families, and they need to know God. They need to be set free. Amen?
Amen.
And God planted you there so that you could be his light and his vessel. Amen? You're in families. You have friends. You live in communities. You work with people. All opportunities to allow God's light and power to flow through you. It's time to stop living a weak Christianity.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's time for us to be the people God is calling us to be. And that begins with receiving spiritual wisdom and understanding. To grow in our knowledge and our understanding of God so that we'll know how to live for him. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, we thank you. We don't want to live a weak Christianity anymore, Father. We want to know you intimately and personally so that we can more fully live the way you would desire us to live, free from fear, free from wrong thinking, free from darkness. Let your light flood within us again, O God. Set us free from every wrong thought, pattern, every place of brokenness. Fill us afresh and anew with your spirit that we might live as your people who shine in this world of darkness. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.